Time for the Madison Public Library Show, Madison Dawson Canby Public Library Show, I should say. And this morning we have a special guest, or this afternoon, I should say, we have a special guest with us. His name is Mike Cagley. Mike's from Dawson. Thanks for being on the show, Mike.
Yeah, thank you, Raymond.
Yep.
I mean, Paul.
Yep. Yeah, why don't you, before we start talking about what are you going to be doing at the Canby, Dawson, and Madison Libraries, why don't you just introduce yourself a little bit, Mike, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm Mike Cagley. I'm not originally from here. I grew up in the cities and did my undergrad at University of Minnesota and went to grad school up at North Dakota State. So I had worked there, and I taught some up there. I taught when I was an undergrad down at Minnesota. And I worked as a corn breeder for a while and then off to Florida. I ran a gene bank for citrus down there and then up to Washington, D.C. area for 20-some years. And I ran and managed greenhouses from the time I was an undergrad on all the way through and orchards and things like that. And at the end, I worked at the National Arboretum in D.C. itself.
Wow. Yeah, the National Arboretum, that's quite a place to work, I would guess, huh?
Oh, it really is. If anybody's ever out there, it's not on the beaten path. It's kind of off a little bit, but it's well worth it. In the spring, they have an incredible azalea planting. Most of the cold hardy azaleas got their start at a place called Glendale, Maryland, so they're called Glendale azaleas. And I had lived in the house that Bradford had lived in, that developed Bradford pear and things like that.
Wow.
So it's incredible. And if you're into bonsai, the miniature trees, they have one of the world's best collections there. They have one tree that was within 10 miles of Ground Zero at Nagasaki that's still surviving. So.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Well, Mike is going to be at the Canby Library and the Dawson Library and Madison Library in October. We'll talk more about the dates and time there. But Mike, what are you going to be talking about when you're at the libraries?
Well, this is going to be a two-session at each location class. The first night we'll talk a little bit about history of Minnesota apples and the breeding and things like that. And then we'll talk about different varieties, different rootstocks, and pruning if we get to that. And then hopefully we'll have a taste test. I've been arranging to get apples sent in, and I've got at least one so far. So the second night we'll talk more about the diseases and pests. Will be pretty heavy, especially on something like fire blight, which was pretty bad this year.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, the history of apples in Minnesota, that's quite a story, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah, it kind of is, because it started out that when people were working their way to the west, they would bring apples with them from the east coast, and they just couldn't handle the cold. So a fellow by the name of Gideon brought in some apple seeds from, I think it was Maine, and anyway, he planted them out, and out of that came a variety that was named Wealthy. His wife's name was Wealthy, and that was the first release from Minnesota, and it was cold hardy. So Minnesota's always had a tradition of breeding for cold hardiness, and that was the main focus, and now we've kind of got that down. Now we've kind of got the world by storm with texture and taste in Honeycrisp.
Yep.
And all the copycats and the clones that have followed after that. So.
That's right. Now, the University of Minnesota had a lot to do with Honeycrisp, didn't they?
Yeah, University of Minnesota released it.
Okay.
And so that, and I think that one, they probably sat on for quite a while because it has such a unique texture that they didn't know if it would fly. And I had stopped in and talked to David Bedford at one point when I was living out east, and he had a poster on the wall, and it was Honeycrisp, explosive taste. And that's right on the money, because when you bite into it, the cells inside are so big that they split like you're splitting a log.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they marketed it as, and that took off. That's the number one apple in the world.
Honeycrisp is, yeah.
Yep, yep.
Yep, you got to like a good Honeycrisp.
Absolutely. And if you want a good one, you got to get one from Minnesota, because if it's grown elsewhere, it doesn't taste the same. That's why when they released First Kiss and Rave, they gave it two different names. If it's grown in Minnesota, it's called First Kiss. If it's grown anyplace else in the world, it's called Rave, and it's the exact same apple.
Oh, wow. Did not realize that.
Yeah, yeah.
How many variety of apples are there, Mike?
Well, you know, I worked with gene bank stuff, and we had a gene bank in Geneva, New York for apples, and that one had probably 1,200 apples in it. My guess is there's probably over 7,000 varieties.
Wow. What's your favorite apple?
I kind of like Sweet Tango for a Midwest apple.
Okay.
East Coast, I like Grimes Golden, or Gold Rush is another good one. And West Coast, the best one that's very seldom sold around here, and I don't know why, is one called Autumn Glory. Some people detect the taste of caramel and cinnamon both in it. I once in a while get the cinnamon, but I haven't gotten the caramel, but it is a very, very good apple. And if anybody's got a chance to see that one, they ought to give it a try. That's the one I've got confirmed for at least some of the classes. It's a late harvest, so it may not be here for the first one.
Okay, wow. What's the name of that again, Mike?
Autumn Glory.
Autumn Glory. Okay, got to remember that. That sounds like a good apple.
Oh, it is. It really is. I'll save you one.
Okay, good. So let's talk about where you're going to be and when, Mike.
Well, the first class will be down in Canby, and that will be October 11th and 12th, I believe, a Tuesday and Wednesday. And we'll go 6:30 to 8:30 at each location. The second set will be up in Madison. That will be October 17th and 18th. And the last set will be down in Dawson. That will be October 24th and 25th.
Okay. And I would gather you'd have to register at the library for the classes,
yes.
Huh?
Yep, yep. Please call the library if you're interested. There's going to be limited spots available. And call and get signed up. The sooner you can, the better, I would think. So.
Yep, for sure. Yeah, I tell you what, that sounds interesting. You said there's going to be two classes. Is it a two-part class then?
Yeah, yep. The first night we'll talk varieties and rootstocks and try to get in pruning as well.
Okay.
And then we'll taste test some apples. And then the second night we'll do pruning if we didn't get through it. And we'll talk about diseases like fire blight, apple scab, apple rust, and then we'll talk about some pests like codling moth and apple maggot.
Okay.
How to control them, how to deal with them.
Okay. Interesting. Well, if you're listening and you're interested in the subject of apples, which I'm sure most people are, Mike, I have a friend that's growing, actually in Dawson, that's got a couple apple trees, and they're just full this year.
Yep. and that's typical. Apples will tend to... A lot of apples, not all of them, but a lot of apples will tend to be alternate bearing. They'll have a heavy crop one year and hardly any the next year.
Oh.
And the way you deal with that is you thin the fruit. So you make it on those heavy years, you get their load down so they don't waste all their energy on that. And then the next year you should have a better crop. And one of the thinning agents is an insecticide called 7. And that will naturally drop the apples down so you don't have to go through and hand thin them.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah, a lot of things to think about when you deal with apples, growing apples, I would guess, huh?
Yeah, there is. It's a lot more than just putting it in the ground. If you want to have nice, clean, good non-infested apples, it's a little work. And choosing a rootstock, you know, I grew up, you grew up with trees that were 20, 30 feet tall. Well, it's like with corn. It's not how much you get per plant. It's how much you get per acre. So commercially, they've gone to growing them on dwarfing rootstocks, which is a little more work. But the trees only grow about 10 feet tall, and they plant them real close, high density. And it's easier to spray, easier to pick. And you know, the trade-off is a little bit extra work, and plus they'll fruit sometimes in 2 years.
Okay. All right, Mike. Thank you very much for being on the library show with us today. And I just want to encourage our listeners to sign up either at the Canby Library, the Dawson Library, or the Madison Library for Mike's presentation there on apples. And
sounds good.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, you bet, Paul.
That's Mike Cagley from Dawson, And he'll once again be in the Canby Library Tuesday and Wednesday, October 11th and 12th from 6:30 to 8:30. And Madison Library from October 17th and 18th, also from 6:30 to 8:30. And the Dawson Library on October 24th and 25th, 6:30 to 8:30 there. So call the library to register today.